Here is my confession. Last Sunday, as Phil preached about the fear he felt taking his kids to school the day after the Parkland shooting, as I was sitting here listening, it hit me. It had not occurred to me to be scared, sending my own kids to school the next day. I am numb to the violence. It doesn't seem possible that it could happen here, not down on Virginia and Milvia at BAM, where Alice is in kindergarten, not in Berkeley. I am numb to the violence. I am just that used to the shootings. The disciples' lives also have just been spun around. They have been riding high. They've watched in awe as Jesus fed thousands. They witnessed him healing a blind man not once but twice to make sure he really got it right. Peter has just uttered his words of recognition, his understanding that Jesus is the Messiah, which in turn Jesus orders him to keep as a secret. And then suddenly Jesus makes this abrupt turn into suffering. All this is bound together for him, the feeding and the healing, his identity, and this suffering. For all his confusing words and parables, his mysterious works, the gospel writer tells us that Jesus talks quite openly about his suffering, about his rejection from the powerful, and ultimately his death. He does not shy away from it. He does not try to gussy it up, and Peter hates it. But Jesus continues on to that heavy line, the one we both lean on as a platitude and yet are crushed by when we misuse it. If any want to become my followers, he invites, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. This is just my cross to bear. It's one of those lines that folks toss around easily. It's a twist on the scripture, and it's used again and again to justify suffering. It's often handed out in concert with those other doozies like everything happens for a reason and this is all part of God's plan. No doubt the very same God that never gives you more than you can handle. Are you chronically sick? Did your spouse leave? Do you work in a toxic office? Maybe that's just your cross to bear. It's a sort of grin and bear it bootstrap model for shouldering burdens, framing them as faith even as they break our backs. I hear this sentiment seeping into our conversations on gun violence. Our nation began an armed rebellion. What do we expect? Or the country is just too divided. There's just too much money at stake. It's just, we just, I just. We stop. There's the quiet sense that this epidemic is so much bigger than we are that it is unstoppable. This is our collective burden. School shootings are the cross we bear as a nation. It's a stance of numbly plodding along, bent under the weight of the cross. We are unable to put it down, but we are unable to do anything either. The cross was not just a method of execution, though. It was a weapon of the empire used to terrorize the populace. It made an example of people who stepped out of line. This is why crosses were erected along the sides of the road, towering over folks, an ominous presence as they came and went. People could not avoid seeing them. When pilgrims flocked to Jerusalem for the Passover, the Roman powers were uneasy and they raised more crosses, commanding everyone to stay in their place, to stay quiet. It was meant to silence them, a reminder hanging in the air of who was in charge. The empire always wins. Take up your cross and follow me. Jesus is not proposing that we all trudge along quietly bearing burdens that supposedly are not more than we can handle, somehow deepening our faith in the struggle. He is the one who came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. God does not seek our suffering. And yet here is Jesus calling us to take up our cross and follow him. These crosses, these weapons of terror used by the state to keep people quiet and in line, they operate by way of isolation and shame. They make a humiliating and wretched death for one person, keeping everyone else at bay because they want to stay as far away as they can from that horrific death. It shames them. And it divides them. Take up your cross. I was carrying on in my numb state a few days ago, having just dropped my kids off at school, still without concern, when I received a text. "Turn on public radio right now," my friend said. "Lily is on the air being a superhero." I ran upstairs, I grabbed a neighbor, and we listened to a young Allsoulsian taking charge. We listened through the crackling airwaves as this 16-year-old leader spoke truth to power. She called on adults to listen, to take action, to prioritize kids' safety over profit or political gain. These youth, Lily and so many others across the country, they are not shying away from the suffering. They are showing up to it, standing in the midst of it. Like Jesus, they are speaking quite openly about the suffering. Youth are so often looked down upon by the powerful, right? They're mocked for their use of smartphones and social media. Their voices are largely ignored. They can't vote. They don't have the money to leverage politicians. But here they are, taking action, using the very tools for which they are belittled to organize. They're planning walkouts. They're staging events to educate themselves and rally together, pre-registering older teenagers to vote, helping to instigate letter-writing campaigns for the younger grades, calling out representatives who still accept money from the NRA. But going on the air wasn't an easy thing or a simple thing for Lily. Her parents felt scared, and their fear resonated with her. There was real risk in putting her name, her identity out there, taking a public stand. But on the air, she pushed through that fear. In her words, "This is a crucial moment. There's no other time. My parents know that when the fire alarm went off at my school yesterday, they were scared. And I was scared too, because that's what happened in Parkland with the most recent shooting. And we can't have that kind of fear anymore. So if it takes me to have a little bit of boldness to get out here today and to organize, then I think that we can call it worth it." I listened, and something in me changed. These youth are not our future, as they are so often named. They are calling us to compassionate action now, in the present. As they come together to lead, I cannot remain numb. Here is a group of young people, overlooked by the powerful, binding together to give their full attention to pain, to the pain of another. This is the cross. Stepping forward into the suffering rather than skirting numbly around it. This is the cross. By this presence, they are calling the powerful